even when his call is as clear as a voice from God calling his name directly. Even then, his mother had prayed for his vocation and dedicated her own life to prayer and sacrifice before he was born. Even then, when Samuel is hearing God's voice directly in his own ears, Eli had to help him understand what it was he was hearing. Samuel takes what he hears and what he feels to Eli a number of times, and Eli helps Samuel to interpret who it is that's calling him and to what he is called. It's interesting that Samuel's first calling is to listen. How many of us listen first? When I was serving in my first year as a young adult volunteer through the Presbyterian Church a little bit later, I was really using that program as a way to sort out what I was going to do with my life. And towards the end of that year, I think I knew more about what my next step wasn't than I knew about what it was. And so before deciding what to do next, I needed to determine what I was going to do when that time came to an end. And they had connected each of us in this program with a mentor. And my mentor happened to be a Mennonite pastor. And so he, hearing my agony over where I was going to go and what I was going to do, suggested a Quaker discernment circle. Have you ever heard of a Quaker discernment circle? It's this beautiful practice that comes out of the Quaker tradition that holds space for God to speak into a particular issue or a decision or a calling that a person faces. And so at Vern's leading, I was able to sit around a table with 8 or 9 wise and compassionate and trusted neighbors who listened to me ramble about my sense of displacement and my sense of calling or lack thereof. And they listened and listened, and after a period of silence, they were able to ask me open-ended questions. They didn't offer me any answers, they offered me questions. They noted my responses, pulled out words or phrases that they heard me say and said them back to me. And together, through their questions and connections, I was relieved to find some confidence and peace in taking steps to move forward in my life. It was a powerful expression to me of the way that the Holy Spirit works through community and through the presence and support of others. And it helps me realize all of this pressure I was putting on myself, I thought I had to do it alone. I thought it was all on me. Friends, today, later in our service, we have the joy of ordaining and installing our next class of leaders at Lake Forest. And their service to our congregation is vital. And we believe that they have been called by God to serve at this time and in this way. And they did not come to that conclusion alone. They were prayerfully invited and prayed over by our nominating committee, or they were nominated at large by other members of our church who saw their gifts and skills and valued their faith. And so our congregation as a whole, last month, took a vote and we elected them as our leaders. And that polity, that way of doing things, that comes from a deep conviction of the Presbyterian Church that all people are equipped and called to the service of God in the world. If you are under the sound of my voice, you are loved and called and equipped by God and the Holy Spirit to live out your vocation in this world. But your vocation in this world might not just be one thing. None of these leaders who will come, the only thing that they do isn't going to be elder at Lake Forest. They will also be parents and friends and spouses and teachers and community members. The conviction is reflected in the questions that will be asked in the service in just a bit. Our clerk will ask all of us here, all of us, if we, the members of Lake Forest, accept these elders as chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ. There's an important phrase in there. Did you catch it? Chosen by God through the voice of this congregation. The congregation is a part of hearing and discerning God's voice. People who know and love us, they point to Christ, and they help us see the way God's Spirit has empowered and gifted us. And they encourage us to use those gifts for the reconciliation of the world. And that would be too much if you had to do it by yourself. But we don't. We do not do this life of faith alone. And many of us, I didn't, we don't always get such a clear and direct voice from the Lord as Samuel did. God doesn't speak to all of us in the same way, but in different ways, because God wants you to hear and understand, and we don't all speak the same language. So God speaks to us in ways that we can understand and hear, but we are not left to interpret that call alone. We have the gift and the necessity of community to help us discern the ways we offer our lives in God's service. Even Samuel, who got a very direct word from the Lord, still needed the help and support of his mother and his teacher to understand what it was he was hearing. It was a gift and a necessity to do this work together in community. Our Book of Order says this about Christian vocation. We respond to God's grace by our Christian vocation. And in baptism, we offer our whole lives in service to God. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit with gifts for ministry in Jesus' name. Therefore, we are called to honor and serve God in all times, in all places, in our work and in our play, in our thought and in our action, in both our private and our public engagements. Such service and love is an act of gratitude for God's grace. As we honor and serve God in our daily life and in our labor, we worship God. Whatever our situation, we have opportunities each day to bear witness to the power of God at work within us and within the world. And therefore, Christians' worship, work, and witness cannot be separated. These things all go together. We can't pluck them out and say only one of these things is our vocation. Our calling is not just a job. And it's not really any one thing other than to hear the call of Christ and to follow Christ with our lives. At different times of day and at different seasons of life, our vocation may look like being a parent or a friend or a counselor or a colleague, a giver, a receiver, a sibling, or a partner. Our vocation is to grow in our daily connection to the divine by the leadership of Christ and in the inspiration and fellowship of the Holy Spirit in community with others. Our Christian vocation is really one thing, but that one thing is to grow in Christ's likeness and to grow in the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. And because each of us is different and uniquely gifted and called, that one vocation will look widely different for all of us. That lived vocation will be as diverse as the body of Christ in the world. So may we, each of us, as we honor and accept the calling of the elders who serve this church, may we accept our calling with confidence and boldness. Never so certain that we grow stagnant, and never so doubtful that we are paralyzed with indecision or fear, and never isolated, but in deep relationship so that we might grow daily in our vocation as God's beloved children. May it be so. Amen.